to Eat Drink Social. My name is Courtney Sandora, and throughout this podcast series, you'll be hearing from myself and the Go Social team. Go Social is a PR and social media marketing firm with offices in Denver, Colorado, and Louisville, Kentucky. We'll be discussing social media trends and influencer best practices in the food and beverage landscape. If you have any questions and want to reach out, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at The Go Social, or you can visit our website at goforthbesocial.com. We are joined here with Allie Walansky. She is a food, beverage, travel writer based in Brooklyn, correct?
Yeah.
Great. So we're really excited to hear what your life is as a journalist and just get some of your insights into, you know, both PR media as well as social media too. So thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So I have to, you know, I know the media landscape has changed a ton. So what got you first interested in becoming a writer?
I always loved to write. I was a little girl and I'd be like, I want to write romance novels when I grow up. And then I found out you can't really pay rent doing that. So I was a journalism major in college and I started doing some editorial work, doing like copy editing and production editing and all that. And then I started to freelance. And it started with beauty and style writing. So I was writing about hair and makeup and all that fun stuff and spa and like became travel. And then travel obviously became food because the best part of travel is eating, I think.
Definitely. So in general, like, did you ever write about anything boring or have you always?
No, I don't like, you know what? I feel like just based on like reading the news every day, there's enough people writing the depressing news. I don't want to write about like health and politics and wars. I don't want to write about what I don't want to read.
Yeah. No, I was laughing because I was looking at your last few articles and it was so varied. I mean, you had like National Oyster Day, Joanna Gaines Tumblers, you did have a soup recall article.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I guess that's technically health related, but you need to know when you go shopping not to buy the soup that might have insects in it. That's important.
So you have like just such a wide variety, which is cool. What's your favorite part about the job?
I think honestly, the variety is part of the fun that I never get bored. I could write about cooking or cocktailing, or I could like write about going to a restaurant and having amazing oysters. And, you know, when I travel, I experience new flavors and new spices, and that, you know, speaks to my writing too. So I think that it's that I'm always having new experiences. I'm always learning things and everything's always delicious.
Nice. How long have you been a freelancer? Like your whole
almost
career?
20 years. Yeah. I straight out of college was doing some copy editing for like educational children's publisher. And then it turns out that like, I guess not a lot of kids were interested in being educated because I was laid off. And then I decided to freelance until I got my next quote, real job. And that was 20 years ago.
Oh my gosh. So, I mean, I'm an entrepreneur and I know it's stressful, like trying to, you know, where are you going to get the next client, the next gig? I mean, for you, like, is that the hardest part of the job or?
Yeah. I mean, definitely it's stressful. And there's been times I had to pivot, like during the pandemic, I was writing about restaurants and bars and then all the restaurants and bars closed. Obviously I couldn't be writing about things I ate at restaurants anymore. So I started to write more about shopping your pantry and stretching your ingredients and like batch cooking at home. So that's the hardest part, like responding to the changes in the world around you and still making the work work. But so far, still kicking.
Man. So how many stories a week do you like typically put out?
It ranges. I'd say on the average day, I do about two. So I guess that would be about maybe 10 a week, but it could be a little less. It could be a little more. During holiday gift guide time, sometimes it's a little bit insane. It could be more than that.
Have you wrapped up your holiday gift guides already?
Like, no, no. Yeah. See, I'm digital, so I don't really start on them until like late September, early October. So I like just finished like, you know, Father's Day graduation time.
Okay. So how many pitches are your like own ideas? How many are coming from PR? How many are like the editors telling you, here's what you have to write?
I send out a lot of pitches in a day because even at the point in my career, I am a lot of times I get like, you know, crickets when I send pitches. I would say about 50-50 are things that I pitch versus things that my editor asked me to write. PR ideas are more like they'll send like, oh, I'd love you to write about this trend. And then I'm like, what is it a trend? And I'm always like kind of changing it to what would be like a better fit for what I'm going to write if I'm going to write at all.
Yeah. Okay, that's interesting. So I guess that was my next question. Like, what is your biggest PR pet peeve?
I would say, see, I actually, some of my very best friends are publicists, honestly. So I work with publicists a lot and we ended up becoming like really good friends. I would say though, violating like the sanctity of the email inbox. You could email me 40 times a week if you want to, but don't call me, don't text me, don't send me weird, creepy DMs following up. If you leave, so I don't like that. I've had people who followed up via video chat at midnight. Like no. Even my mom shouldn't do that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. My first job out of school was in New York at a PR agency. And my manager at that time was like, you have to call everybody. And I was like, can I just email them, please?
I don't even pick up my phone for anybody. I don't talk on the phone.
Yeah, no, I hear you. So what, like when you are writing a story, what is your typical turnaround time? Like for National Oyster Day, is that something you were working on for like months before? Or?
Oh, I never have months. Months sounds like a glorious thing. It honestly depends on the story. That Oyster Day story was like 40 oyster dishes. So I worked on that for about a week because there was like a lot of formatting involved, getting images, getting like chef quotes, but a lot of my stories are pretty quick turnaround. Like, you know, the thing about the soup recall, I wrote that in under an hour.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, because it didn't require any interviews, any kind of expert quotes, any research. It was basically like, this is the recall announcement. This is what's happening. This is what you do. So it's like very formulaic.
So I've read like that some reporters, like they're getting kind of judged, you know, on the clicks or whatever. Do you feel like pressure? Do you monitor like, oh, this story got X amount of clicks or is that not?
Depending on the outlet, I don't really know how many clicks it's going to get. I mean, some of them I do, but I do notice from the social media aspect, if it got a lot of shares, a lot of comments, and sometimes it surprises you. Yesterday, I got some email feedback to a story I wrote 8 years ago. And I'm like, how is the story still out there? Why do you still care? I don't even remember writing it.
Have you ever had a story that went like viral or like you were really surprised by the number of clicks?
I did. And honestly, it was always the surprising ones. It's never the ones that you think are these big, meaningful, important stories. It's more like, this is Meghan Markle's salmon recipe. Learn how to make it. Those are the ones that do really well.
Kind of disappointing as a human.
It's so true. Like this is the times I'm like, well, this is a really important story to tell. And it's not, but like, that kind of stuff does really well.
Do you have kind of a, I know it's probably hard to pick a 20 years worth, but do you have a favorite article you've ever written?
I did write a lot about like, small younger farmers and how they're like the future of the innovating, like the farming industry, because like a lot of like the old school farmers were like retiring out. I wrote that a couple of years ago and I felt good about that. I've done some stories about like the evolution of like the gig economy and like Uber and Lyft and how that changes like things. I try to, my favorite stories are the ones that I feel like help people. So like the ones I did during the pandemic where we're largely about, you know, budgets are tight. You're not leaving your house much to grocery shop. This is how to make the most of what you have. I felt good about those because I knew that they were potentially going to help people.
Yeah, that makes sense. So as a travel writer, what has been like one place that really surprised you that you visited? Like you liked it way more than you thought.
Oh my God. I was actually just in Kansas City last week and I was blown away about how fun it was. Because like, what do you really hear about it? Like it's known for its barbecue, which is great, but it was the sweetest town. I went to some amazing restaurants that were doing some really creative, innovative things, stayed in a gorgeous hotel. And I always kind of imagined it as like this quiet, sleepy, small town.
Yeah, that's funny. When we drive back to Louisville and Chicago, we stay the night in Kansas City. And I thought the same thing. I was like, we always eat at Jack Stack. I don't know if you made your way over there.
I didn't, but I totally want to go back. So I will keep it in mind. Like I really went there with the thought of, well, at least I'll have some good barbecue. And it was, I had some really good cocktails. I feel like if the city's not getting as much attention as it should, and it's probably going to soon get more.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because when I lived in New York and I had some native New Yorker friends, they even thought like Chicago was like a podunk. They're like, anywhere outside of New York isn't worth going.
So. Oh my God. One of my dirty secrets is I like Chicago pizza more than New York pizza. And like people get so, I know people. Yeah. I love deep dish, and people get really angry at you as a New Yorker, especially a born and bred Brooklynite, when you say, well, actually Chicago pizza is really good. Those are fighting words.
Yeah. I won't tell anyone. So I guess on the flip side, as a food writer, where has been the one of your favorite meals?
Oh, Italy is fantastic. I mean, I've never had a bad meal in Italy. No, I haven't tried, but I mean like the pasta, the pizza, the cheese, the bread has the wine. I could easily stay in Italy forever eating their food.
I agree. Have you been to Spain?
Only once. I was in Madrid. That was delightful. Had some really good wine there too. Really good olives.
Nice. We're heading there in a couple of weeks. So I'm excited for that. What would your dream assignment be that you haven't written yet?
Oh gosh, that's so hard. I mean, I feel like there's areas of the world I haven't fully experienced. I'm very much into the royal family. And so I would love to like, you know, maybe shadow a royal chef and just like watch him preparing food for the royal family and like what they do, what the royal kitchens are like. That could be cool. I've been to London countless times, but I've never been inside a royal kitchen. So that would be amazing.
We're going to make it happen.
I would love that. I will pay for it. No one has to pay me. I will pay for it.
Yeah. I mean, to that point. So typically when you do go on these trips, like a travel thing, is that one of those that's being covered by your publication, or is that more like the PR side of it?
It's the PR side of it. So publications, especially for freelancers, they're not going to cover the expenses of a press trip. So that's more the situation of you get press trip invites, and I get probably a couple of dozen press trip invites a week. And I say yes to maybe one a month. Yeah. I say no to like 90% of invites because I don't have time. And I only say yes if I think it's a story that I could write, because then I have to pitch a story and see if it's a fit. So if it's not a fit, then I'm not going to go, because I'm not going to waste their time or mine. But yeah, so they will host you. And then based on the experience, you could pitch story ideas.
Cool. If I was a recent journalism grad, what advice would you give me into going into freelance writing?
Develop a really strong backbone, because it is rough out there. You're going to deal with a lot of rejection. 2 decades in, I get rejected all the time. You get lots of mean feedback a lot sooner than positive feedback. I would say like, and I'm pretty established, but people email me complaining about me a lot more often than they're like, you're doing a good job. So you have to be okay with that.
Like when you hand in your article, like they'll have feedback then, or?
Oh no, not editors, but like, you know, readers.
Oh, readers.
Yeah. Okay. Readers are always like, well, you're wrong. That's not a good chocolate bar. What do you know?
Do you even like engage, or do you just say?
No, definitely not. Social media is for people who hide behind computers and like the same mean thing. So no.
Speaking of social media, have you checked out Threads?
A little bit. Yeah. I was actually in Vegas for Guy Fieri's restaurant opening when Threads like launched. And it was like, I stopped everything to download it, because I was like, I don't want to miss the boat. And I feel like the boat was kind of interesting for like a week, and now people aren't really talking about it anymore.
Yeah, that was interesting. So we do social for a lot of clients, and that was the big thing. Like, do you go on Threads or not? And I'm like, oh, is it different enough from Twitter that people are going to stick around, and are they really going to like spend time from Instagram? So it's interesting. I did see you do use Twitter.
Yeah, I do use Twitter. I used to love Twitter so much like a decade ago. And of course, the last couple of years, Twitter has started to suck. But I still use it because I have an account there and I have like a following there. And I think it's useful in some ways. I share my article links. I think if you need a call for sources, if I'm crowdsourcing, Twitter is still useful, but it's not the Twitter it once was.
But what is brand? I think it switched over to X today.
Yeah, it's so weird. Now when I see the app on my phone, it feels like it's a naughty app.
Yeah. So what social platforms do you use for work, if any?
I use Instagram a lot. I share my stories on my Instagram stories. I sometimes cook like live on my Instagram stories. Like I'll make a cocktail or I'll cook something in my air fryer. Or if I'm traveling or at an event, I'll like post on there. So I use that a good amount. Like I'm on Facebook, I'm on TikTok, but I'm mostly an Instagram girl.
Okay. That's cool. Yeah. TikTok's definitely interesting. I mean, I don't see as many journalists using TikTok as they do. Yeah. Instagram.
Yeah. I think you have to have like your footprint in everything to varying degrees. So I try to have a little touch point of everything except Snapchat. I don't understand Snapchat. I'm too old for it.
do your editors like ever say, hey, post this on your own personal social, or do you not really get that kind of pressure?
I don't get that pressure at all. I mean, obviously they're going to be happy if their articles get more traction. So if I share it and that leads to more shares and that leads to more traffic for their articles, they're going to enjoy it, but they never asked me to.
Okay. That's good. And when your readers reach out, like the angry chocolate bar ones, do they reach out on social a lot? Or is
I get DMs all the time. Yeah. Really? Yeah. I get DMs on Instagram, Facebook, on Twitter being like, you know, I didn't like your article or that recipe, you did it wrong. And I'm like, well, I was the one that ate it, so that's okay.
Yeah, man. So for a PR person, if they do reach out on social, is that an absolute no-go for you? Or like, are you open to it?
It's fine. So what I always tell people is I don't like to be pitched on Instagram, but I love to make friends. So reach out, be like, oh, I really love that martini that you shared the other day, or your dog's birthday party pictures were really cute. Reach out as a person being my friend. Don't reach out for business reasons.
That's really good advice. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they could use it for, I think like relationship building is what social media is for.
Yeah, for sure. So what's your take on influencers and creators?
I definitely think that they have their place, but I think that it's a mistake to mix them with journalists because they do very different jobs. I've been on press trips that's like half writers, half influencers, and just they have different needs. It doesn't work. So like, you know, have separate influencer trips, have separate influencer dinners, have separate influencer events, just because like it's oil and water. Like we're not going to coexist well.
So on the media side, what are some of the things that you feel like as a journalist you need differently than an influencer?
Well, okay. So if we were on a press trip for like a vineyard or a wine brand or something, as a journalist, I would want to hear the sommelier or the vineyard person, like, you know, explain things and talk and tell me more about the wine and how it was created and what makes it different. While an Instagram person would totally just want to like have a picture of themselves in a field holding the wine bottle. Yeah. And that's fine. That's their gig. I get that. But I've been on several trips where like the influencer trying to get the perfect photo of themselves gets in the way of us journalists getting the interviews and the research and the content we need.
That makes sense. So in your eyes, like what makes a good press trip in general?
I think that it's, you know, you experience enough that you could like cover the topic and know if you want to cover the topic and get the information you need. But also at the end of the day, especially as a freelancer, we all have many things going on, other deadlines, other responsibilities. Like I get 800 emails in the average day. So I think you need to balance it. Don't try to like schedule from 7 a.m. to midnight, like work in some time for people to do their other things. I think sometimes on press trips, it's tempting to try to fit everything you can in a day just to see, like the more you do, the more likely something will stick that people can write about. Yeah. We're human beings. We're not machines.
Guilty. I'm thinking back to other questions I've had. I'm like, keep them busy.
Yeah. So I mean, if you don't tire people out, they're more likely able to fully absorb what you're trying to teach them and write about it.
Yeah, definitely. Has there been like a dream publication that you've written for that you're like, I've made it. I got in this publication.
I recently wrote my first story for Travel and Leisure and I was really excited. Like 6 months ago, I wrote my first story for Wine Enthusiast and like I was like gushing for days because that was super exciting for me. Like there's definitely bucket list publications that I'm like, you feel like, oh my God, this means I'm legit. Like this means I matter. And even after all this time, I very much still have those moments.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, you've been doing it for 20 years.
But you know what? In that time, outlets have come and gone. Editors have come and gone. Like, there's peaks and valleys.
Yeah. I mean, it's in just on the PR side, just pitching people. I mean, it's like, I feel like most people that I pitch are freelancers now.
Yeah. I mean, like, well, part of that is, unfortunately, the media landscape, a lot of publications have folded, and those people who were editors or staff writers are now freelancers.
Do you think that's where stuff is heading? I mean, where do you think this
kind of- It's a hard world right now. Between that and between AI making, there's some people out there are like, well, you know, if I could have like a machine do this, then I really don't need you to write this listicle because I could just make this bot do it. But I just tell myself that the publications that would be willing to do that are not the publications that I would be writing for anyway.
Yeah, that's a great topic. I haven't even thought. I mean, we've played around a little bit on social media, just like with imagery or even team headshots, and some good, but like a lot of it.
Yeah, I played with headshots, and that was sort of fun. But like, definitely, I don't want the robots to take any of our jobs, either one of our jobs or anybody's jobs.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, that's interesting. So, what's next for you? Like, what do you have coming on in the short term? Is you have anything like in the long term? Are you going to write that romance novel ever?
Like, maybe. I mean, like, I definitely still want to write a novel. I mean, the thing is like, I think about like how much work goes into it and what is the likelihood of it getting published. And I get kind of intimidated and overwhelmed, which is what I mean. The amount of years you're doing something in no way makes you feel better about yourself. I have some fun trips coming up. I'm going to Nashville in a few weeks, which is one of my favorite cities. And I haven't been there since before the pandemic. I'm going to Charleston in September. So we'll see what else is coming up.
That's awesome. Well, that's so cool. Any other kind of like advice that you would give PR people or aspiring journalists?
Absolutely. So for the last 2 years or so, I have a Substack newsletter that I send out every single day. And okay. I totally recommend that, not even necessarily mine, but obviously I would love that. Look for journalists' Substack newsletters because it makes it so much easier, both for relationships, but also pitching. I send it out free every single day with what I'm working on that day, newly published links. So if you like want to see what the journalists that you are pitching are working on and what they need, it helps you. But I also think it helps you get to know them better. I subscribe to like 25 people's newsletters just because I want to know where their travels are taking them and what events they're going to and like what they're seeing and doing and feeling right now. So I think my advice both to publicists and people who are doing what I'm doing is either to start a newsletter or subscribe to newsletters. It gives you a pulse of the industry that we didn't really have before.
So how do we subscribe to yours?
Okay. So mine is literally just my name, alliewolanski.substack.com. And you could subscribe and I'll be in your inbox every morning. It's like we're having coffee together.
I'm 100% doing it. That's great. Because I mean, I'll tell you on the flip side, you know, obviously you're getting hired as a PR person to push a storyline, right? And you know, like it's just that much sweeter when you know, like I'm actually helping somebody do their story versus trying to like shove something down.
Like, I try to do sometimes like commentary and industry insights in mine. And I always say like, you know, none of us can do our job without the other one. Like, you know, writers need publicists just as much as publicists need writers. And the more we understand each other, the easier that is.
Yeah, definitely. So you're thinking just for all the publicists out there, holiday gift guides, late September.
Yeah. And I always tell people early is better than later, because if it's too early, it'll sit in my Gmail inbox until I need it. And it's there.
Yeah.
But if it's too late, there's nothing I can do for you. So if you want to send a holiday gift guide pitch today, I'm not working anything yet, but it will be in my email when I need it.
I don't even want to think about your inbox.
Oh God, it's scary. But I use the search function and I search phrases. Like if I get assigned a gift guide of pink martini glasses for the Barbie lover, I'll just go into my Gmail and search pink martini Barbie glasses.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you're not deleting everything.
Oh, I don't delete anything.
It warms my heart as a PR person.
Oh my God, I totally don't delete anything because like you never know. I might get an assignment tomorrow where I need to speak to a podiatrist or an etiquette expert. I don't know anyone. So I'll go to my email and I'll be, has anyone pitched me who has that? And that's how I find it.
Awesome. Okay. Well, those were great tips. I really appreciate you taking the time and like sharing a little bit. It's just so nice. You know, I've read your articles over the year and it's nice to kind of hear your story and get to meet you. And I just really appreciate you taking the time.
Oh my God. Anytime. It was so great getting to know you.
All right, everybody. That wraps up today's episode of Eat, Drink, Social. Thanks for listening. If you have a story to share or know somebody that does, feel free to